Quebec, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are down here at Fadley's giving away scratch-off. I didn't give your friend from Shock Trauma a scratch-off.
Oh, my goodness, Betty Boop. She got out of here, and we
I got to give her some Betty Boops. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill. Had a great conversation this week with Lisa Rosiniak about jobs and job training. We've had attorney generals. We've had candidates.
For state's attorney.
We've had all sorts of things going on here today, but we are in the midst of a great conversation with political candidate season. So I'll let you pick it up.
Part two of sitting down with Lieutenant Governor candidate Aruna Miller on the Westmore ticket. As I said in segment one, full transparency, I have endorsed Wes and Aruna. I think they're going to be a great team in the State House. When we went to break, Aruna and Esther said, I want to talk transportation. So there's so many policy initiatives out there. And you and Wes are just heavy with policy. I mean, people say, I want specifics from my future elected officials. You're giving them specifics. I know you guys are very excited about a transportation plan you just released. Break it down for the folks listening.
Well, this is your thing, right? Am I right to say that the transportation is where, that's where you swim?
You got it.
All right,
that's
good.
That's where I swim.
I love to hear this.
Yep. So we just recently had a roundtable on transportation, and we had some heavy hitters in that roundtable discussion. Phil Washington, John Lewis, we had Jimmy Rouse. You familiar with Jimmy Rouse?
Yeah, absolutely.
He owns a restaurant in Fells Point. Yeah. Robin Budish and Sean Winkler. So we all talked about our plan. We are very excited about it. Look, transportation is not about moving cars. It's about connecting communities, people, moving people. It's the arteries and network of everything that we do every single day in our life. If you don't have it, you're not going to be able to do it, right? So transportation includes something as great as the Port of Baltimore right here. I mean, I read that it actually, in one day's drive, it reaches one-third of U.S. households.
Oh, it's one of the greatest assets East Coast.
You got it, right? And did you know, here's a couple of factoids I want to throw out. Did you know Maryland had the first national highway in the U.S.?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It was called the Cumberland Road back when Thomas Jefferson was president. Way back then, that was the first time.
Well, then the B&O Railroad, that's all about
right, B&O Railroad as well. We had the first railway. But Cumberland Road started where we had federal government to give us money, and it went from Cumberland, Maryland. And Don, you're familiar with Western Maryland.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right?
Sure. Nestor was out there this summer.
Yeah, I did a little crab cake tour. I did 24 counties. I can run for governor at this point because I did 24 counties. I did 30 crab cakes. I went everywhere.
You did Deep Creek Lake.
I went to play. Well, the reason I did it was it's such a beautiful state, and I hadn't been everywhere. I guess you will get everywhere before this is all over with.
Yeah.
I was blown away, and he'll tell you, I was excited ahead of time. But seeing how beautiful the whole state is, especially
in
summertime.
Well, you got it.
You know, we talk about the state, and I have this discussion a lot with folks. From where I sit, one of the real lost opportunities in this state was when Governor Hogan, almost immediately upon being elected, with no study, with no input, with no analysis other than a campaign promise, canceled the red line, basically pulling the plug on this project that had millions and millions of dollars of federal funding. That people, my cousin, I'm very open about it. My cousin Tom Moeller, who spent 10 or 15 years of his life as an engineer on the red line. I mean, it was just all that hard work was just done. So I think one of the things people want to know, Aruna, from you and Wes, what will people in Baltimore see? This is Baltimore Positive, in terms of a Moore administration regarding its approach to transportation. How will they feel it? How will they see it? What will be different?
It's going to be quite different. Number one, we're going to look at it through an equity lens. We're going to look at it through an economic lens. We're going to look at it through an environmental lens. So there's a lot of components here. Let me tell you, with the red line, I was in the General Assembly when Governor Hogan got elected and he nixed that project. He essentially sent $900 million that the federal government gave to us, the state of Maryland, to focus in on the red line and said, you know what? We don't need it. Spend it somewhere
else.
Can you imagine that?
Spend it across the country.
Exactly. And so that I can tell you that's going to be a priority for us. In fact, I believe our federal delegation actually have it such that they wrote, I think as part of the new Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, they said rather than the red line going back to the end of the line, put it back where it left off if the next governor of Maryland agrees it should. And I guarantee Westmore and I definitely want to make sure
it goes
back. I'm
thinking the ink won't even be dry, right?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. If you were at the roundtable, you would have heard Jimmy Rouse made this statement. He said, you know, you had the Purple Line, and the Purple Line was sold as an economic opportunity that's going to create all these jobs. And, of course, it is. The Red Line wasn't sold that way. It was sold more as an equity issue. You know, oh, we need to revive, you know, Baltimore. Well, yeah, it's an equity issue, absolutely, but it's also an economic engine that would have created so many job opportunities and had, you know, economic development take place all around it, right? I mean, going from John Hopkins right. Medical Center all the way down to the Social Security
out
in Baltimore.
CMS.
County. Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, why wouldn't it be
the
that?
The east to west line, no.
The problem we have in the state right now, having traveled, is there's this anti-Baltimore thing. I live in the county now. I'm not going back to the city. You'll come back to the city. Jay Miller and I said we'll shut that down. But part of that is us against them with the city and the county, not understanding how you burn down Baltimore, you burn down the state.
You got it.
Period.
You got it, Nestor. A strong Baltimore means a strong Maryland. And I don't understand why we're getting into all this parochial talk that, oh, if you take money away from our county and give it to somebody else, that's not good. No, it's good. We're one Maryland. If one county succeeds, that's great for the rest of the, you know, Maryland.
Well, you know, I can't let it go because my former boss would be shouting down at me that even the Purple Line was so watered down under Governor Hogan in terms of a lack of commitment that former county executive Camus used to call it had turned into the Lavender Line under Larry Hogan. You know, it was the Purple Line. We've now made the Lavender Line. So there really has...
Well, he doesn't believe in public transit.
Public transit.
Yeah, because he's never used it. He didn't grow up in Dundalk like me with a father with epilepsy that couldn't drive.
Highways.
Riding on the 23 and the 10. And I lived the first half of my life that way. So I have incredible. We sat here with Brandon Scott when he was the city council president, and we said to him, hey, you been to the market? He said, I used to take three buses every day to go to high school. I used to sit in the market for an hour. He said he was in the market every day of his life.
Right. Yeah.
And that was a big part of taking 2 hours to get to school and 2 hours to get home every day, and you wonder why kids don't go to school.
It's going to be a philosophical discussion for whoever wins this primary.
But Don, you know, here's what I'm going to say. In the 21st century jobs, young people coming in to getting jobs, they want to live near public transit.
Yes.
They don't want to drive a car because it's an opportunity for them to get on their phone, get on their computer,
and
get
driving.
Things done.
I hate driving. I don't get anything done.
I don't like driving either.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, no, that in fact, I know a business owner in Gaithersburg, Maryland. He owns a biotech industry, and he moved about 10 miles down the road, his entire 250 employees, because you know why? He said, I can't get the workforce here because there's no public transportation. So he moved to, Pike and Rose. That's got a metro station right there.
Right.
He said, because my employees want a place that's got public transit.
My favorite story,
so
Aruna, is, you know, one of the great economic development successes in Maryland is at the old Sparrows Point in Baltimore County, Trade Point Atlantic. And it's creating thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs. Well, when we made the announcement and the jobs began to come, it's one of my favorites. So we talked with Jane Miller about this. Jane, one day on the air, tried to take public transit from Baltimore City to Trade Point Atlantic. I think it took her just under 2 hours.
Yeah,
a young mom can't do that and get to work on time, come home and take care. So, you know, transportation has to be front and center.
It is.
The other thing that has to be front and center, and we hear it, you'll hear it if you walk through this market, it's not just a Baltimore City problem, it's a state problem, it's a nation problem, public safety.
Yeah.
Talk to me about a more Miller administration, and I know you've introduced a robust public safety plan as
yes,
well.
Yes, we did, Don, and we also had a round table discussion on that. And Wes and I both believe those closest to the problem are closest to the solution. So you have a lot of individuals that play in the community intervention programs, and so we had a lot of them come and talk to us. How can Annapolis better partner with you all? Look, in 2020, unfortunately, Maryland had 537 homicides. 537, that's too, you know, too many right there. Even one is too many, right? But this is unfortunately something you're seeing throughout the nation. And I think part of it has to do with COVID. It's got to do with loss of jobs. Availability to guns, you got it. And these are all things that we need to strengthen, and that's what we plan to do when we get elected. One of the things I know Wes is very much a proponent of is to make sure that we give the funding to Maryland State Police so they will be able to partner with local jurisdictions and help them to do the job that they need to. And I think that's what happened in the past 8 years. It's almost like the administration said, hey, to the local jurisdiction, you deal with it. You figure out what you want to
do. Well, we had Larry Hogan on the show, and it's that buck gets passed back and forth, especially when it comes to criminals that are repeat offenders.
Yeah.
Like, whose job, their job, it's not my job, you know?
It is our job.
It has to be.
It is our job.
Certainly a state function, parole and probation, which we've just let fall by the wayside.
And we have a lot of vacant positions in that. No, you should be, making sure that those positions are all filled so these individuals who are trying to get back into society have the resources they need to succeed.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that they have jobs. And, here's where transportation comes in again. It is a major barrier to economic opportunities because you find individuals that are coming back, returned citizens, they tend to get jobs that are entry-level. Entry-level jobs oftentimes are, in the nights, on the weekends, during non-banking hours. And public transportation is not available for them. They don't have a car. In fact, one-third of residents in Baltimore don't have access to cars. And yet our public transportation is still unreliable, undependable, and we got to change that. Why is someone even going to use something if it's going to take them 3 hours to get...
Or you get fired getting to work because the bus didn't come.
Yeah.
All of the time. It happens all
it
of
happens.
The time.
It
so.
Happens.
I want to, because our time is short.
Sure.
So, a couple of issues at the top. If I just met you and said, what are the three things that are going to be stump speeches? He would say this from a hand. What are your three value
your
points?
Your elevator speech.
Yeah, that you're going to make me vote for you instead of the Republican side of the ticket, which clearly a lot of Democrats voted the other way over the last two elections that have... made this. Yeah, it is unfortunate that Larry's not concerned about Baltimore. I was a Baltimore City resident for 20 years. Give me the three big things that are going to get you elected.
Okay, Nestor, I'll tell you what. We've been making a lot of phone calls across the state, right? Meeting people, Zoom calls, phone calls, you name it. And whether it's, the commissioner in Port Tobacco, Charles County, Port Tobacco.
I've been there.
You've been there.
Been
Josiah
there.
Henson is from
been there.
There. But you know how many people are in that town?
728.
No, 24.
Oh.
Okay.
That's like
okay.
Smith Island.
Yeah. So I talked to the commissioner there. I talked to the mayor of Morningside in Prince George's County. I talked to the school teacher in Friendsville in Garrett County. You know what every one of them tells me? They feel like they're forgotten, that Annapolis has left them behind.
Well, I mean, you had half the state out there trying to annex itself to West Virginia. Or whatever, right? And then Larry goes out there and waves to him and says, it's a good idea. I couldn't believe
that. Well, that gets us to a great question, Nestor, and that is, you're all over the state. You're tireless. I'm not sure when you all are sleeping. As you go around the state, what are people telling you?
Okay, so that's one of them. Yeah. They feel like they're forgotten. And that's something we're going to do. When we get to Annapolis, we're going to partner with all 24 jurisdictions, and we're going to make sure that the municipalities are heard. That's another thing we're hearing, that they feel like, they're not heard at all. So one of the, tangible things that we would like to do as soon as we get in is to be able to have, within the governor's cabinet, a liaison that deals with nothing but municipal leaders and hearing their issues and concerns, because that means the governor, they have the governor's ear. If we put it up to that level that, hey, your issues are important to us. You are the closest to your citizens, and you can tell us what your needs are.
Yeah, I have heard a lot, Aruna, and I'm guessing based on what you just said, you've heard this as you've traveled the state.
Yeah.
From a lot of local leaders, they say what's really been frustrating has been find out about an action that impacts us
when we watch
release,
it live.
When we
press
see
conference.
The press release or the press conference, and we're like, we didn't know anything about this.
Johnny O's sitting there with popcorn watching Larry saying, are we open or are we shut? I mean, come on, that's ridiculous.
There you go. That's another thing, to communicate better. and to be transparent. Right? Transparency seems like a kind of has been avoided in these past 8 years, and that's unfortunate.
Well, because you do see it in defense, where Governor Hogan did choose to cooperate in terms of some pandemic actions with local leaders like Johnny and others.
Sure.
That
you
went
see
well.
How well it went.
That went
and
well.
You saw, you know, Johnny standing up saying, look, I appreciate what the
sure.
governor did. And you see there, that's the way it ought to work. So I know everybody has to run. Can't have you without saying, how do you win this thing? Let's talk turkey. It's all great to have policy and it's
yeah.
good to philosophize, but how do you win?
How do we win? Look, talking to every single person that I just described, making sure we're out in 24 jurisdictions. You know, as a matter of fact, February 28th, we were in Talbot County. Have you been there?
I have been to Talbot County.
Have you been
sure,
there?
Of course.
I've had
yeah.
a crab cake in Talbot County.
Okay, there you go. Well,
I had two.
I'll tell you what, we were there Monday morning on a meet and greet. I'm expecting 20 to 30 people to show up. The room at Tidewater Inn was packed. There was over 100 people. They were bringing in more chairs in.
Well, people used to vote for Democrats everywhere. It's not yeah. foreign to vote for a Democrat.
I know, but Talbot County, right. last time they voted before Joe Biden was in 1964 with Lyndon Johnson. Okay, these people were fired up and ready to go for Westmore, and that's how we're going to do it, because West knows how to energize the base without alienating the rest.
Well, you mentioned early on, and I meant to pick up on it in the first segment, and I didn't, and it just came back to me when you said it. West. When folks will say to me, and Wes and I have obviously known each other a long time, but they'll say, what is it, Don? What makes you so passionate about Wes? And you alluded to it. You said one of the things that I was struck by when I met with Wes was that he was a listener. And
yep.
I've said to folks repeatedly in my career, both on the school system side and then in the governmental side and in the political side, that one of the things you can't teach people is an intellectual curiosity. So many, and you've known them, you lived
yep.
in Annapolis.
Sure.
For them, listening is waiting for a turn to talk.
You
know,
it.
it's not really listening.
Right.
And the ability to listen, really significant, right? To try to understand what people want.
I think a leader has to do that, right? I mean, Westmore is not just an engaging speaker. He's an engaging listener. I've been to meetings with him where we're meeting with a group of individuals. He actually takes out his notebook and starts taking notes about everything that they're saying. And he's usually the last one to speak. He makes sure he hears everyone's concerns. And, you know, as he often says, he's data-driven, heart-led. You know, he is very detail-oriented about the policies that he is proposing. You know, I've often said to Wes, I said, Wes, you really think people are going to go on our website, download pages and pages of our PDF, footnotes and all, on right. policy? And he says to me, he goes, Runa, the way I see it, details create the big picture,
details
not
create.
The other way around.
Well, let me give you one thing before we let you go, because I did travel the state. I've considered political candidacy, as he would tell you, and he'll smile at that and laugh. And when he's dead and gone, I'll be governor. So and he'll be responsible.
Lester, it's not too late.
Lester, you
can still go
please,
ahead.
See?
April 22nd,
see?
You can
don't.
Still sign
see,
up.
Here's the deal.
Don't encourage
you. I did a tour last summer. I did 30 crab cakes in 30 days. I went everywhere. And this is what you're going to see as just a human drive in the state. And Don, if you did it, you'd see it too.
Absolutely.
One lottery ticket for you. There you go. Scratch and win, brother. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. So anyway, I lose my train of thought when people do that. I traveled the state.
Yeah.
And I was on a lot of back roads. I got off of 50. I got off of 67 and off of 70 going places.
Sure.
The broadband issue that we talked about in this city, that the last time we were with Wes before he was running for office, Christmas a couple years ago, about West Baltimore. There you go. I said West and West. West Baltimore, East Baltimore, and kids not having tablets, kids not yeah. having access to the same education. Then the pandemic hits.
Yeah.
Then I'm doing a crab cake tour, and I'm rolling around in these places out on the farm. And when I sit with Heather Mazier over in Chesterton, and I'm wishing her luck in her District 1 run, she tells me, as you're out and doing this, pay attention to your cell phone. She says this to me. See when it works and when it doesn't. And I'll be damned if I can't get two yeah. minutes outside of Easton and I can't call my
right.
wife. I get 5 minutes outside of Cambridge and I can't send a text or put a social media post up for my sponsors or a cool thing I saw. And I'm thinking, How do you get a job out here? How do you communicate with anybody out here? How do you have a Zoom meeting out here? How does your kid go to school here? I'll tell you, we thought it was a city issue and an economic issue for the state. I would say that's the thing that brings people together. I went to a place in the far reaches, and I'm not going to disparage this county, but as far south as you could go and as far out on a limb, and I got sent there by one of Mueller's buddies to get rockfish and a crab cake. And right on the door, there's a giant CNN sucks Anderson Cooper with the Ghostbusters thing on it. And I looked on my phone, and they don't even have internet. That you can't you can't even find the internet on your phone. Wow. And I'm thinking, until people have access to all the information, and I was blown away. And I guess when I get to really rural states, I was out in Omaha, Nebraska. But in Maryland, it feels like everyone here is connected. We're in a connected world. We're on highways. We think of it this way. It's not this way geographically in probably 70% of the state, in lots and lots of places.
You're right, Nestor. And I think the General Assembly has already tried to address that. They've created the Office of Broadband to before there was no such thing as that. So now they're focusing on it. And there's still, I believe, 520,000 residents that don't have access to internet. I mean, that's just hard to
believe. That's a big number.
That's a big number.
It's incredible. Yeah. And I'm thinking all of these representatives, and maybe they're so far in the woods that they don't even have social media. I can't imagine you could run for office in Garrett County or any of these places without that they don't get in their car and have the problem that I had, which is you're incommunicado when you're on a hill.
It's very difficult. I'll give you an example, and then we'll get out of here, and we'll let Aruna get out of here. My brother, as you know, owns a home, a summer home in Cambridge, beautiful home, that he rents a lot of the time. And one of the issues that he dealt with, if you're coming from New York or New Jersey to come to visit the great Maryland Eastern Shore,
it's not going to work.
But you're going to work all summer. The first question you ask is, we got a number of people who need to be on tablets all day long. Are we good to go? And the answer is, not really. So it's very, very, very challenging. Listen, you get out of here.
Then you don't get anything done. We have no productivity.
We don't get anything done.
Right.
Where do people, they're excited now. They've heard you. They said, man, this ticket seems to have a lot of energy. Where do they get more information? Where do they volunteer? Where do they donate? Where do they go?
They go to westmore.com.
Can't get any easier than
You got an extra couple weeks to ramp up here, so good luck to you guys.
Okay.
All right?
Ladies and gentlemen, Aruna.
Elbows up.
Thank you, Nestor.
All right. Aruna Miller, candidate, lieutenant governor. Westmore, Miller, you've seen their signs, you've seen their commercials. Coming to the ballot, not in June, but in
July 19th.
July 19th.
So, now listen, I would ask you the ultimate Indian food question as to where to get the best Indian food, and I know you're going to say your mother's house.
No, I'm going to say my house.
Oh, there you go.
Let me tell you what COVID did. It made me a better cook.
What's your best dish? Well, Nestor loves Indian food. What's your best dish?
I would say paneer.
All right, Polly Pioneer, let's go, man.
Yeah, he loves him some Indian.
Okay, I will. Ooh, next time, Nestor, I come up here.
He loves it. He loves it.
I'm Nestor. We are WNST. Down here doing it all on behalf of our friends at the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play. Do you want the pink Betty Boop or the blue Betty Boop? Which one you do? Now, you're not running the lottery yet, but once you get elected, I'm going to give you the blue Betty Boop.
Okay, well,
good luck.
Thank you.
Had a $100 winner at Costas the other day. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Back for more live from Fadley's in Baltimore Positive.